Ever since 1955, the gap-toothed grin of cartoon character Alfred E. Newman has graced the cover of Mad Magazine, often accompanied by the phrase, "What, me worry?" And then back in the 1980s, Bobby McFerrin scored a number one hit song with his song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Oh, if it were just that easy. The truth is, most of us fall victim to worry. Christian counselor June Hunt writes, "One of the most destructive habits ensnaring human beings is also so common that many consider it as natural as breathing and as harmless as blinking. That habit is called worry. It is such a skilled and deceptive thief that its victims don't know they've been robbed of peace, of time, of mental energy, and of emotional well-being." Now, in our series that we've entitled Stress Fractures, we're going to look at a number of things that cause stress in our lives. Most of them are emotional, and how we can deal with them. Now, some see worry, along with similar words, anxiety or fear, as the same as stress. That's what they consider to be stress. And there's more to it than that. There are other things that stress us out, but this is certainly at the top of the list. And it's something that almost everybody, including Christians, deal with from time to time, if not most of the time. Now, I do believe there's a difference between worry, as we're going to look at, and fear. That's going to be another message in our series. But they are closely related. But I think worry is one of the chief causes of stress in our society. And I want to consider this morning the symptoms of worry. I want to consider a diagnosis of worry, and then I want to look at the prescription, the cure for worry, because it is something we can overcome. It is not something we have to continually deal with. And I believe that especially those who are committed followers of Jesus Christ, we should not worry. And there's a way we can get beyond that. So, what are the symptoms of worry? What are the things that accompany worry that we can say, yeah, that's what I'm dealing with? Well, see if any of these physical conditions apply to you. Do you have difficulty sleeping? Maybe you have trouble falling asleep. Maybe you have trouble staying asleep. Are you losing your appetite? Some of us wish we would. But those who are constantly worrying lose your appetite. Are you overeating? Okay, that's the other shoe. Yeah, sometimes that fits. Are you experiencing headaches on a regular basis? Sometimes they're called tension headaches. Are you having stomach problems? All kinds of digestive issues can come about when people worry. Are you struggling with maintaining good health? You just see, as soon as you get over one thing, something else comes up. You just fall victim of every little bug that goes around. Could be a sign that your body is stressed out. So these are the symptoms. And if you go through and you say, wow, several of those apply to me, this message is for you. And don't feel bad if that's the case, because there's a lot of us that this applies to. Now, a number of these symptoms are also indicators of depression. And I do believe there is a link between worrying, constant worrying, and depression. Now, I'm not speaking here of depression that is because of the chemical and hormonal imbalance in our body. That's different, and that needs medication. But I'm talking about just the kind of emotional depression that can even lead to physical depression that can come with worrying too much. Worry can rob us of our focus. When we're consumed with worry, it's very difficult to focus on the task at hand. And I'll demonstrate why that is in a moment. But worry can rob us of our focus. Even the most common tasks, things that we say we can do in our sleep, become more difficult if our minds are consumed with worry. Worry can take away our health. When we worry, our adrenaline goes up, our heart rate increases, our digestive system kicks into overdrive. That's why sometimes it's hard to sleep. That's why sometimes we have stomach issues. Sometimes we lose our appetite or we're prone to overeat. All these things can be because of worry. When we worry all the time, it can lead to sleeplessness, heart disease, ulcers, acid reflux. All these things can be attributed to worry. And then worry can rob us of joy. We become so preoccupied with worrying about what might happen, we fail to appreciate what we have at the moment. And chronic worriers tend to become negative. Sometimes they even become cynical and kind of jaded in their outlook on life and how they deal with other people. So these are the symptoms. This is what worry does to a person. And again, if you go through these and you say, wow, that sounds a lot like me, the Word of God has something to say to you. So the diagnosis of all of these symptoms leads us to worry, or you might say chronic worry. I mentioned that three words are often used interchangeably. There's worry, anxiety, and fear. This last week I looked them up in a dictionary. Fear is the more broad term. It's defined as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by the anticipation or awareness of danger. Notice those last words. The anticipation or the awareness of danger. Worry focuses on the first, the anticipation of danger. To distinguish these, I'm going to say that worry is the anticipation, fear is the awareness. Fear is dealing with something that's actually there. Worry is about something that might happen. Do you see the difference? Now, they both are very similar, but there is that distinguishing factor. The second term, worry, Webster defines it as mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. Once again, these are things that we think might happen. They haven't happened yet. That's the key in understanding worry. These are things that haven't happened yet, but we're afraid they might. This could happen. What if this happened? Those are common statements of worry. These are things that have not happened, but we anticipate them. See, we very rarely worry about something in the past. We very rarely worry about something in the present. We're always worried about something in the future, something that could happen, that might happen. That's our focus in worry. Now, the third term, anxiety, is defined as an abnormal or overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, and increased pulse. By doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt with one's ability to cope with it. Anxiety says, if this happens, I don't think I can deal with it. I couldn't live with such and such. I couldn't take it if this happened. Now, for our purposes, I believe worry and anxiety are interchangeable. Those are two words that are synonyms. Fear is a separate issue we're going to deal by itself. Now, what's very interesting is where we get our word worry. It comes from an old English term, worgen, which literally means to choke or to strangle. That's what worry means. And isn't that very picturesque? That's what worry does. It chokes the life out of us. It's like we're strangling in worry, in this anxious apprehension of what might happen. Also, if you look at the New Testament word that is translated from the Greek into English, worry, that word means to be divided or to be distracted. Isn't that the case? When we're worried, we're distracted. We can't think about what we should be thinking about because we're thinking about something else. Our thoughts are divided. And then finally, in Latin, the same word is translated anxious. It's just like our word anxious without the O. And once again, it means to choke or to strangle. That's what worry does to us. It chokes us. Jesus used similar terms in the parable. Remember of the sower that scattered the seed and it fell on different kinds of soil? One of the soil was soil that had weeds in it. And it says that the thorns. It had thorns. And as the plants grew, the thorns grew up with it. And Jesus said the thorns choked out the plant, that it could not survive. And interestingly, as he is explaining this parable, he says, those whom seed was sown among thorns, these are ones who have heard the word, but the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things, enter in and choke the word. There you have it. Worry choking out the word of God. And that can happen in our lives if we're not careful. Oh yes, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, I know the Bible's the word of God, I know what the Bible says, but I can't get past this worry. And when we allow worry to overcome us, it will choke out the word in our lives. Chuck Swindoll says, I've got my own definition for anxiety. Anxiety is the painful uneasiness of the mind that feeds on impending fears. We're constantly worried about what's going to happen next, what's going to take place, when's the other shoe going to drop. We're consumed by it. He said, in its mild form, we simply churn, but it's in its most severe form, we panic. And yes, worry can lead to panic attacks. Sometimes they're called anxiety attacks. It's exactly what they are, because we are consumed by it. Now, one of the worst aspects of worry is that it's often artificial. I had mentioned earlier that something that defines worry is we're concerned about something that might happen. We're concerned about something that could happen next or in the future. Somebody did a study some years ago and found out that only 8% of the things we worry about are legitimate. 8%! Think about that. 92% of the things we worry about never happen or are out of our control anyway. 92%! What do you call that? I call that a waste of time. I call that a waste of emotional energy. We are consumed. We are driven by things that don't even happen. So much of our lives, we worry about things that never take place. What a waste of time in emotional energy. The vast majority of what we worry about is simply out of our hands. Much of it will never come to pass. Some things we're worried about, we can't control. If you're worried about what somebody else is going to do, why? Worrying is not going to change whether they do it or not, and we can't change it. So quit worrying about it. If we would stop worrying about the things that aren't going to take place anyway, we would eliminate 92% of our worry. Think about that. And the other 8%, is it worth it? Is it worth the time and the effort? 8%. Worrying is not only wasted effort, though. It's a health hazard. Jesus said in Matthew 6:27, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Good question. Can you? Can you add a single minute to your life by worrying? No. But I would suggest you can take away hours and days. We can shorten our life by worrying because of those symptoms that we talked about earlier. You have that going on and on year after year in your life, and it's going to break down your health. You're going to develop ulcers. You're going to have all kinds of digestive problems. You could end up with chronic heart disease because of the constant high pulse rate and high blood pressure. These things take a toll on our lives, and worrying can actually shorten your life. Charles Mayo, the co-founder of the Mayo Clinic, made the observation that worry adversely affects the circulatory system, the heart, the glands, the entire nervous system. In the medical journal, American Mercury, Mayo said he never knew of anyone who died of overwork, but he knew many who died of worry. Think about that. We talk about, yeah, I'll work myself to death. No, you won't. But you can worry yourself to death, and many people do. When we constantly are worrying, we are actually shortening our own life. Dr. Archibald Hart explains why worry and anxiety are so detrimental to our health. He says there are people whose thoughts are so active and bothersome, they constantly imagine the worst. This worry magnifies actual threats and creates imagined ones, both of which trigger the stress response. And because they're imagined or blown out of proportion, these threats cannot be confronted or easily resolved. The problem is in the mind, although for the body, the imagined threat is interpreted as real. Furthermore, we don't always recognize our worries as stressors. They hide in the dark recesses of our minds and come out to haunt us during the early hours of the morning when we try to get to sleep again after being awakened by some noise. Or it plays like a broken record in the background of our unconscious while we do our daily chores. It is these more subtle threats that produce the greatest amount of stress damage. Things that worry, scare, or frighten us, even though they only exist in our thoughts, are stress-producing because there's little we can do to fight vague, imagined threats. That's why they can be the most destructive of all, because we don't know who or what the enemy is. When we're so consumed with worry, and especially things that aren't real, they haven't happened, they may never happen, our body is pumping adrenaline through our system. And we saw in our last study what that does. It increases the heart rate. It increases our digestion. It sends energy to our muscles. And that's great when we need it. But when you live on it constantly, it wears everything down. We can't live in that constant state of adrenaline. And even more than a health hazard, worry is a spiritual stumbling block. It's not just an inherited weakness. Oh, my mom was a worrier. It's not a humorous habit. Oh, I'm just a worrywart. It's not a justifiable excuse for prideful perfectionism. Well, somebody's got to worry about it. No, it's none of those things. It is a three-letter word. S-I-N. Worry is a sin. And it's time we confronted it as such. For the child of God, worry is a sin. Far beyond the need to avoid its psychological and physiological effects is the reality that Jesus tells us not to do it. Do not worry, he says. And when we say, I'm going to worry anyway, we're going exactly against what our master has told us not to do. And that is the definition of sin. God says don't, we do it, that's sin. And Jesus has said, do not worry. And this is why it is a sin. Think about what worry communicates. When I'm worrying about what might happen to me, I am saying, in effect, I believe that God can forgive all of my sins. I believe that God can adopt me as one of his children. I believe that God has an eternal home for me in heaven, but I don't believe God can take care of what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, or tomorrow, or whenever it might be. It is a sign of unbelief. We are telling God, I don't think you can handle this, so I'm going to try. That's what worry does. Worry tells God, I don't believe you can take care of me. And that's why it's a sin. Worry is a lack of faith. Bottom line, worry says, I don't believe God can take care of me. And that's why we need to avoid it. Now, last time I mentioned a quote, I didn't have the source. And this last week, I not only found the source, but I found the fuller quote. It's from Corrie ten Boom. It says, worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. And then she adds, worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. Think about it. Worry doesn't do a thing about tomorrow, but it affects today. Because it keeps me from doing what I need to do. It robs my focus of what is right now because I'm thinking about what's ahead and worrying about it. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its troubles, but it does empty today of its strength. Well, now that we understand the problem of worry, what can we do about it? And I do believe the Bible gives us a prescription for worry. It isn't something we just have to manage. It isn't something that we even have to will ourselves out of. Although we are responsible for the choices that we make. The Bible gives us a prescription for worry. It's in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. There it is. Words of Jesus. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? Is not the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There's a connection. When you worry, you have little faith, if you have any faith at all. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do you ever think about the fact that tomorrow never comes? You ever realize that? Because when it comes, it's today. And you got another tomorrow. And that's what worry does. Worry is always focused on tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. You deal with today. Deal with what's right in front of you. And so many of those other things take care of themselves. If nothing else, when tomorrow comes, it's today and you can deal with it then. But when you try to deal with tomorrow's problems today, you're not dealing with today's. It's a vicious cycle. Another passage that deals with a prescription for worry. This is a little more specific about what we can do about it. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Some translations say, do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. In everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do you not worry? Four-letter word, P-R-A-Y. Pray. Put those concerns in God's hands. Say, I understand that this might happen, and if it does, please take care of it. End of worry. Put it in God's hands and leave it there. And you see the connection between these two texts? Jesus says, do not worry. Paul says, do not be anxious. Jesus also uses that word, anxiety or anxious. Do not be anxious for your life. The tense in the Greek there is properly stated, stop worrying. But down in verse 31, the tense is, don't start worrying. So if you're already worrying, stop. If you haven't started, don't. Don't start. There's no need. There is no need for us to worry if we are in the hands of God. There is no better place to be. Doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen to us that are bad, because we live in a world where bad things are going to happen. But God will get us through them. But when we worry about it, we're focusing less on God's power and ability. We're focusing on our own, and more than likely, we're going to fail. We're going to fall flat on our face. So how do we overcome worry in our lives? I know it's easier said than done, but I think the key word is focus. And focus is a choice we make. We decide what we focus on. Nobody decides that for us. We can't blame anybody else for our focus. Our focus is ours. And if we focus on the right things, I believe we can overcome worry. And I believe there are five things, as we close, we should focus on. Number one, we must focus on the present and not worry about the future. Worry about the future does no good. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Deal with today. Focus on today. See, worry can paralyze its victim, keeping them from accomplishing anything in the present. It'll seek to do that to us by taking us mentally into tomorrow and anticipating what might happen. And as we're doing that, today is slipping away. Refuse to go along for that ride. Focus on the present. Apply today's resources to today's needs, or we will lose today's joy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, the only way to win assurance is by leaving tomorrow entirely in the hands of God and by receiving from Him all we need for today. If instead of receiving God's gifts for today, we worry about tomorrow, we find ourselves helpless victims of infinite anxiety. He's absolutely right. It will never stop. It will become a lifestyle. Peter Marshall, who once served as chaplain of the United States Senate, once prayed at the opening of a Senate session, Help us to do our very best this day and be content with today's troubles so that we shall not borrow the troubles of tomorrow. Save us from the sin of worrying, lest stomach ulcers be the badge of our lack of faith. Amen. Very well put. Save us from the sin of worrying, because it is a sin. We're telling the world we don't believe God is strong enough to take care of our problems. Secondly, focus on priorities and not worry about the frivolous. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. All the other things will fall into place. Paul writes in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Honestly, how much of what we worry about is really about God's kingdom anyway? Stuff we worry about is stuff that probably a week, a month, a year from now, you're not even going to remember. You remember what you were worried about a year ago? No. Because most of it didn't happen, and so it dissipates. But it's the act of worrying that can cause damage within us. So seek first God's kingdom. Freedom is not found by fretting over the temporal, but by focusing on the eternal. It all has to do with our focus. Focus on what matters. Third, we must focus on our purpose and not worry about others' function. Boy, that's an easy one to do. I learned a lesson in that this last week. I got to confess. Oh, for about 6 weeks now, I've been going to a fitness center in Clinton, trying to get in a little better physical shape. And I try to get there early in the morning, about 7 o'clock. I can do my workout for about an hour and then come home and still get ready for the day. And that's great, because usually when I get there, there's people my age or older. All right, so that's pretty good. Well, this last week, I had an early morning appointment one day, and I was not able to get to the center until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I get there, and here are all these kids coming from high school and college, you know, they're in their late teens and 20s. And I mean, they're, you know, they could have lifted me up and down, you know what I mean? You know, and I'm just thinking, good night, what am I doing here, you know? I felt so inferior, because I'm looking at all these other people. And then their little voice inside says, what are you worried about what they're doing? They're not watching you. They don't care. Do what you've got to do. Let them do their thing. And it was just a very powerful message, because we often do that in life too. You know, we go to church and say, oh, I can't do that. Well, I can't do that. Oh, look how good they do this. Well, I can't do nothing. Right? We go to work and, they've been doing this all these years and look how good they are. I could never do that. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do their job, because that's their job. You do your job. When you're in the church, find what your place is in the church and do it. Don't worry about how it compares to somebody else, because your job is important. But we can often compare ourselves with others. And we always tend to compare ourselves with people that we come up short, right? And it does no good. Don't worry about what other people's functions are. On at least two occasions, Jesus had to tell his disciples, in essence, it's none of your business. Don't worry about what he's doing. Don't worry about what's going on over there. You do your job. Peter was asking Jesus about John the apostle. Well, what about him? Jesus said, don't worry about him. You follow me. Enough said. And that's a message for us as well. William Barclay says, let a man give his best to every situation. He cannot give more, and let him leave the rest to God. Amen. You just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed. And let God take care of the rest. Fourth, we must focus on promises and not worry about our feelings. This is a big one. Because worry, more than anything else, is a feeling. It's an emotion. And how we overcome the feeling is focus on facts. And what are the facts? God's promises. God says, I will take care of you. God says, nothing will come upon you that I cannot bring you through. Those are promises in God's word. And that's what we need to focus on. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So why worry about the things we need? God said he's going to provide. Now, he doesn't satisfy our greeds, but he does satisfy our needs. There's an important distinction there, but that's a promise we can stand on. Another promise that sometimes is misunderstood, but in its proper context is very helpful, is when Paul writes, there is no temptation that takes you except what is common to man, but God is faithful, and with the temptation will provide a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What does that promise say? There is never a temptation that we can't avoid. God always gives us a way out. So there's no excuses. We can't say, I can't help it. Yes, you can. If you're a child of God, God promises you, you have a way out. Focus on the promises, not on our feelings. Now, I'm not saying we can't plan ahead. I believe in wise planning. But there's a difference between wise planning and worry. And we need to know that distinction. And then finally, we must focus on prayer and not worry about figuring it out ourselves. This is where that instruction from Philippians 4 comes in. In everything, by prayer and petition, make your requests known unto God. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Pretty well sums it up. Prayer is the way to defeat worry. Prayer brings peace, which is the opposite of worry. And I think a very good prayer that we should use often is found in Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know what? My anxious thoughts. Give them to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine and remove the worry from our hearts and minds. As we worry less, we put less strain on our bodies. So, we can avoid stress fractures of worry when we focus on the present, not worry about the future. Focus on priorities and not on the frivolous. Focus on our purpose and not others' function. Focus on the promises and not worry about our feelings. And then finally, focus on prayer and not worry about figuring it out ourselves. Doesn't mean we have to look like Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry? But it does mean we're going to worry a lot less. And we're actually going to be healthier because of it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we are all guilty at one time or another of the sin of worry. The sin of unbelief, doubting that you can really take care of us as you have promised to in your word. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you would give us the focus on the right things, focusing on your promises, focusing on the present, focusing on our purpose, focusing on prayer, that we would overcome the sin of worry that can ruin our testimony to others and spoil our relationship with you. I pray that we might now take the truth of your word and put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.